It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the 10 o'clock hour of Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here on a Sunday morning. And we can still call this this is really the birthday of the bull market. So this is the ninth birthday as of Friday, March 9th, 2009, is when we began. So let's talk about this week in the market and how that impacts or where we stand in this long bull run. I want to get to the kind of the single thing that caused the February 2018 correction, because there was an awful lot of focus in on those very same data points that kind of started this correction, or the correction in February of this year. And we're going to talk about that today. Talk about inflation, specifically wage inflation. Wall Street gets very nervous about this data point. And as this nine-year bull market forges higher, there's only a few real dangers to watch out for. And I have three of them, and I want to go through that right now. I do also want to go to the phone. So if you've been thinking about this market, is it too high? Is it a good time to get in? If you've got money, do you put it to work right now, or do you kind of wait? Do you piece it in? I mean, there's a lot to think about when it comes to where we stand with markets where they are. And we've come a very, very long way. It's amazing. It's amazing to think that back in March of 2009, 9 years ago, the Dow was in the 6,000 range. 6,000! Today the Dow is over 25,000. Just a remarkable amount of movement over the past 9 years. So all of this and how it impacts you and your family. What do you do inside your IRA, or your Roth IRA? Or what does the allocation look like? Should you own individual stocks? Should you own a mutual fund that's active? Should you own a mutual fund that's passive? Do you do an ETF that does something in between, or an ETF that's passive? So there's so many ways to go. And are you an income investor or a growth investor? How do you become a better income investor? And what does that entail? How do I get dividends? And what's the right kind of interest to get? From what areas? Should it be corporate bonds or government bonds or high yield bonds or floating rate bonds? And then distributions that come from all these other places, like energy pipeline companies and closed end funds that pay in the 5%, 6%, and 7% range. So there's a lot to think about in the landscape of investing. And that's what we're here for on Sunday morning. So we're happy to talk that through. Maybe you just have a question about a pension. Hey, I'm about to take a pension. They're offering me a lump sum, or they're offering me a monthly amount. But the monthly amount could be based on my life and my spouse's life, based on a 10-year period certain. Which one do you take? What's a better deal? Do you know how to do the 6% test when it comes to a lump sum pension? There's a lot of companies in Atlanta and around the country that are offering these lump sum early retirement deals to thousands and thousands of employees. So you might be one of them, and we're happy to talk through the math behind what's a better deal for you as a family. So we are live this Sunday morning, this rainy Sunday morning. So if you're not headed to church or about to go in, you've got a second in the car or at the house, then give us a call in the studio. We're here. We'd love to take your calls. It's the fun. It's the best part of Money Matters, your calls and your questions. We'd love to help. If you have a question, there's 1,000 other people that probably are wondering the same thing. So it's almost a public service to get your question out there, because I can help. We can help kind of to talk that through and discuss it and help lots of folks. So the number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 is the number in the studio. The phone lines are open, or you can call us 1-800 WSB Talk. Again, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So what are these three things that can hurt this market? Let's call these three daggers you got to watch out for. Number one, first one, when markets get excessively expensive, that's the first piece of this. We just talked about earnings when we were talking about Ron Paul and his commercials and his predictions. But if earnings start to slip, profits for companies, and yet prices continue to go higher, you get what is considered markets start to become expensive. Multiples begin to stretch. Essentially, stocks get excessively expensive, and that's when investors get increasingly greedy and greedy and greedy until it stops. And that's the period of time when markets go the other direction. And that's what we've got to be careful for. So number one dagger to ruin or kill a bull market run is when markets get excessively expensive and people get greedy. Number two, some sort of exogenous shock or policy error. For example, the Federal Reserve ratchets up interest rates too quickly. And almost through their actions, manually squashes economic growth. That's happened in the past. It could happen again. I think that this Fed right now, under what was recently Yellen and now Powell, is very, very cautious, which is a good thing. And they're doing everything they can not to make a policy error. But that is something that has certainly happened in the past. So, or something unexpected like Brexit or some sort of war or a debt crisis like we saw in Greece, or some sort of nuclear reactor meltdown, whether it's from a tsunami or something else. Note, by the way, that everything I just mentioned, all those items have happened in the course of this 9-year bull run. Every example of something that went wrong, that's actually happened during this 9-year bull run. And they've all led to some sort of corrections. Sometimes it's been a few percentage points, sometimes it's been 10%, sometimes 15, some near 20% over the past 9 years. But the S&P 500 has avoided a full-blown bear market correction during this 9-year bull run. So from the exact bottom, and this math is phenomenal to me, that from the exact bottom in 2009, if you nailed it perfectly, and you were all cash on March 8th, and you invested in the middle of the day on March 9th, then you would have seen, as of Friday, about a 300% run-up. It's actually even more than that if you can't count dividends, but 300% higher. Number three dagger, and then we'll go to the phones here. Wage inflation. The killer dagger that almost always ends market runs or always marks the end of an economic expansion. So not only the economy, but the market as well, the stock market as well, is wage inflation. It's the black widow of economic data. Once you see that number go over 4%, that's it, at least the vast majority of the time. So if you can imagine, all eyes were on Friday's jobs report. Would the black widow of economic data points crawl out of hiding? So far, it hasn't. Average hourly earnings year over year clipped in at 2.6%. And we can live with 2.6%. 4% is the danger zone. So the black widow of economic data has receded into the shadows for now. And the markets liked it. We saw a week up, Dow was up over 400 points on Friday. For the week, up 3.5%. For the S&P 500, up 3.25% for the Dow, and a big chunk of that after the Friday jobs report. All right, we're going to the phones, 404-872-0750. We're going to Don in Cobb County. Don, good morning. What's going on? How can I help?
Hi, good morning. Enjoy your show. I'm older than 65, a good bit, and I'm wondering, you talk about a 4%, and you can take that forever. But if you're a good bit older than, say, 65 or 62, that number ought to ratchet up some. And I'm just wondering how far up I can go.
So Don, I think what you're driving at here is just your withdrawal rate. And you're right. The withdrawal rate is kind of like the most important. If there's any number that I would single out as the most important piece of financial planning, I would say not as much investment planning, financial planning. It's that withdrawal number that you look at every year. And I just redid, and the last couple of shows on Money Measure, we talked about that rule. We redid the study from William Bangen that said, hey, you can take 4% plus inflation. So you take 4%, and you, for the most part, you never have to worry about running out. Now, there are a couple of times where if you timed it perfectly wrong, Don, you would run out. If that was your plan, you'd run out in about 30, 35 years. So I look at it this way. If you're
I'd be 110.
Exactly. Exactly. So the way I look at this is you've got to plan out how much time you've got left. We know that the 4% number is something that's very sustainable. And it's not just 4%. It's 4% plus inflation.
Right. I understand that.
So I think I've run this calculation a lot of other ways. You can do mathematically 5% if you keep that constant and you don't inflate that number a whole lot. Then that still can last over 30 years.
Oh, okay.
So, and if you think about it, just do the math. If you just money sits in a bank account and does nothing, zero rate of return, you take out 5%. It still lasts 20 years. 5 divided by 100 into 100 is 20 years still. So you're taking back your own money. You get a little bit of a rate of return. Let's say you get a 3 or 4% rate of return on average per year. Imagine how long that extends out a 5% withdrawal. Mm-hmm. So it absolutely can last at a higher withdrawal rate than the safe 4% number. The reality, though, is that it's a dynamic number. It isn't just the exact amount of money every single year as a percentage. It's a nice guideline. So I'd use 5% as a guideline, Don.
Okay.
With being careful not to inflate it up too much for inflation, or 4% if you want to really, really ratchet up inflation every year. But remember, if we get extremes, like the market is great for a while, maybe you take more. If it's really, really, if we go through tough markets, you may have to pull back a little bit. Okay. So just think of it as a dynamic process. The 4% and the 5% number are just really important guidelines. Great question, though, Don. Thanks for the call. You're listening to Money Matters, news, weather, traffic, straight ahead. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We're going to go back to the phones here. So if your financial questions answered here live today on this rainy Sunday morning, 52 degrees. I'm your host, Wes Moss. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. David from Carrollton. David, what's going on? How can I help?
Good morning, Wes.
Morning.
I have a question on an IRA conversion. I have a good bit of money in some IRAs. I'm about 62 now. And I'm wondering if I need to go ahead and convert some money over to my IRA.
Do you mean to your Roth?
To my Roth.
Yeah.
Right. Because I got about $1 million in my IRA. And I know if I wait till I'm 70 and a half and start doing something with that, it's going to have grown, and then I'll be in a huge tax bracket then. So, and I'm thinking, since these taxes are coming down for these coming years, should I go ahead and convert some?
You know, on the surface, David, these Roth conversions really are tempting because you think, I've got my IRA. A, when I take money out, it's taxed. B, it's 70 and a half. I've got to take money out and it's taxed. So it would be obviously a lot better to have it inside a Roth IRA because of Roth, of course. You bring it out and it's completely tax income free. In the scenario that you're talking about here, it gets a little bit more complicated. If you, of course, were to do a giant conversion, the whole thing gets taxed and then the IRS gets a ton of money. There's a way to do it, though, where you can limit your tax. You can limit your taxes. So it's a little bit of a bigger conversation. So hang on, this is important. Do you convert, if you're listening, do you convert your regular IRA that's taxed when you pull money out into a Roth IRA that is tax-free? We're talking to David from Carrollton about this very question. He's on the line. David, hang on. News, weather, traffic straight ahead. Then more Money Matters right here. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. It's 10:35. It's 52 degrees, and it is raining outside. And it's a day to be inside, maybe. After church, we go home. Sunday, day of rest. Next week, by the way, programming note, and we're going to go right back to the phones here. Quick programming notes. Next Sunday, Money Matters will be shifted 1 hour later, so we'll be on from 10 to noon instead of 9 to 11. So still 2 hours, just shifted 1 hour later. Monica Matthews will be on at from 8 to 10 next week. One of our favorite new talk show hosts here on WSB Radio. If you haven't listened to Monica Matthews, she is awesome. And she will be on from 8 until 10. And then Money Matters will be on from 10 until noon. That is next Sunday. So good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. The number in the studio, we're going to go back to the phones here with David from Carrollton. The number 404-872-0750. Again, the number here in the studio with your questions, whether it's investment-related, retirement-related, investment product, stock, bond, mutual fund, ETF-related, we're here to answer those questions. The number, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. David from Carrollton. So as a quick refresher, David, for those listening, you've got this IRA, and right, you want to figure out a way to get it into a Roth. The IRA itself is, let's call it, around $1 million, and you are fully in retirement. And what's your other income look like right now for this year?
Well, I have about almost the same amount of money, not hardly as much in cash and a Roth IRA, and then I get a small pension. Well, I get a pension to where I live pretty much on it. I mean, I'm looking at probably taking 3% out of my portfolio per year, maybe, to go along with all that.
The other question here, when you're thinking about converting from an IRA to a Roth, again, on the surface, it seems great. Hey, I can put this money in a Roth. I can then pull it out tax-free. The only catch, and it's a huge catch, is that you got to pay taxes on that money to get it into a Roth. The IRS loves that proposition. The IRS says, David, please go ahead and do it, because then we'll collect a huge amount of taxes on that conversion. And the reason I ask you about your other income sources, here's the best case scenario to get money. And I've had this happen with clients over the years, where you will have, let's say you're a real estate developer and you have a bad year in real estate and you've got an ordinary income loss. And I've seen this happen, particularly as you're going through 2008 and 2009, and real estate developers might have had a couple really bad years, obviously, with how bad real estate was. And they might have, let's say you had $1 million ordinary income loss. You could take $1 million from your IRA, put it into a Roth IRA, and effectively net out the taxes. That's the perfect case scenario to be able to do a conversion. Otherwise, when you do a conversion, let's say you had no income, no pension, no taxable, no interest, nothing. The only income you would have would be the amount of money you convert. $1 million, you take out $1 million, all of a sudden you're in the highest tax bracket and you're going to be paying 37% on the money that you pull out. So you want to avoid that. The best way to do this would be incrementally, meaning that if you think about this as a conversion over time, if you're not really going to be living on this money, and it may be for your heirs, and you want to just convert this really for them over time, you would spread it out, meaning that you might do $50,000 per year or $100,000 per year, just knowing that $100,000 that you convert is going to add to your adjusted gross income. If you've got $50,000 in pension and $30,000 in social, you've got $80,000 in income. If you convert another $100,000, now your income will be $180,000. And that in itself will push your tax bracket up. Remember, the new tax brackets, married, filing jointly, they're all a little bit lower. If you stay under $165,000, you're still in the 24% bracket, David. So maybe key in on that level if you're married, filing jointly. Once you get to $315,000, you're at the 32 level. $400,000, you're at 35. And remember, now the new top tax bracket married individuals filing joint returns. 600,000 is the new highest bracket at 37%. Just remember that whenever you convert, it will impact your overall adjusted gross income, and that in itself will change the tax bracket that you're in. The IRS would love for you to do it because they get a big tax chunk. You have to just be careful and methodical about how you go about doing it. Does that make sense?
It does. Now, I was looking at, you know, spreading it out over these few years that since the new tax plan isn't going to be in effect for, I know, until another 5-10 years.
Well, so, right. So the new tax plan is supposed to sunset in, or some of the provisions are supposed to sunset in 2027. I would be surprised if that doesn't get changed and made permanent, but we'll see. That's a long way off. I think a lot of that's going to have to do with what our budget deficit looks like, David. Lower taxes are great, and hopefully, or at least the way this is supposed to work, it should stimulate the economy, and a bigger, faster-growing economy on what is now about a $20 trillion a year GDP, is that GDP expands at a more rapid pace. We're supposed to be able to collect more tax revenue, right? If that doesn't happen, and the added economic growth doesn't pay for the cuts, then we're going to have to revisit this whole thing, because you can't just keep digging a hole with the budget deficit the way it is today. And the debt, as we all know, is this ridiculously high number. How do you ever pay that back? Well, the first step is you got to get your annual spending under control so that you can even start to put a dent into the overall debt picture. And we're still a long way off from doing that. There's some hope that tax reform will help do that. And the IRS would love for you to do this conversion because it'll add to their tax revenue. So just be careful, David, on how you do it and how quickly you do it. But I think your intentions here are smart. Getting money into to a Roth IRA is a better vehicle long term because you do not have to take required minimum distributions from a Roth IRA. You're not forced to pull money out. That's another advantage of the Roth. And when the money grows, tax deferred, and then of course it comes out tax free. David, thank you for your call. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.
Thanks.
404-872-0750, the number here in the studio, or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We talked about, now we're on this ninth year, or the ninth anniversary of the bull market this past week, the three things that could make the market, or let's call it, could start to end this run. One, markets get expensive and overvalued. Today, markets are not trading at a low multiple. I wouldn't call it cheap, but it's certainly not overly expensive because profits have kept up. Profits have pushed this market higher. The market has not just inflated itself due to greed, at least not yet. So that's number one, that this bull market run ends when markets do get excessively expensive. Number two, some sort of exogenous shock that we just can't predict, whether it's a policy error or some sort of just global event that happens that we have no control of and cannot foresee. That, of course, can throw markets into a tailspin. And then number three, and this is why the jobs data was so important this week, wage inflation. Wage inflation is the killer dagger when it comes to markets and economic growth. It almost always, once you get wage inflation, companies starting to have to pay workers at an accelerated pace in the 4% plus accelerated rate of growth every single year, that's when it starts to eat into their profits. That all of a sudden starts the kind of this downward cycle. Instead of earnings expanding for big companies, they start to contract. It also, so that in itself starts to slow down the economy. It's not good for the jobs market at a certain point. So that's the number that the market was kind of on pins and needles for this week. Hey, what was the one thing that started the February 2018 correction? It was wage inflation. The Wall Street got very nervous when markets printed a 2.9% wage inflation number, average hourly earnings. That is the data point that Wall Street really keys in on. And we've been talking about that for a couple of years here. We're always on watch for that number. And this past Friday, the jobs report, it looks as though that is still in check. So average hourly earnings year over year clipped in at about 2.6%. And we can live with 2.6%. Still a long way to go before you get to that scary line that is the 4% number. So we have some room, we have some runway before we get there. What's to like about the jobs number? Well, 313,000 new jobs. That was the establishment survey. It's the payroll data. We also saw labor force participation climb. We went from 62.7 to 63. Might not sound like a lot, but a third of a percent on an economy as big as ours, that is a very big number. It's about 800,000 new folks entered back into the labor force. And now, so that means that when labor force participation ticks up, those are people that now raise their hand and say, okay, now I'm back in the job market. It's not as though it's just a bunch of people graduating all of a sudden entering. It's individuals making the decision to go back to work. Maybe they look around, they say, you know, I haven't been working for a long time. Looks like there's a lot more choice than when I last looked. So I'm going to enter back into the labor force. And that really impacted, that's a number, that labor force participation number impacts the supply of people looking for jobs. That number was 800,000 new folks looking for work in the month of February. Most of which, and this is a separate survey called the Household Survey, so it's a little different than the Establishment Survey, 785,000 of those people, 800,000 new folks looking for jobs, found a job. It's a big number. And that's why we saw, because even though we had this giant influx of new people looking, we had a giant influx of new jobs, so the unemployment rate stayed at 4.1%. So a ton of a newfound people looking for work, and an equally large group of people finding jobs, and very little wage inflation to speak of for the month of February. Hence, for now, we're okay. We're okay for now, meaning that for the time being, we don't have to worry just yet about wage inflation, which is, again, the black widow of economic data points, still in check. So this benign inflation data has kept the Fed from getting jumpy. And we don't want a jumpy Fed. We don't want an aggressive Federal Reserve. And the market still sees over the course of this year, three small rate hikes. The worry back in February or from the January jobs report is that, hey, we've got wage inflation, the Fed has to get real aggressive and they're going to raise rates four times, maybe five times this year. That, at least for now, is off the table. And we're back to this gradual rise, probably three times this year, quarter of a percentage point every time. So this just gradual move higher for interest rates, which markets can, when it's done gradually and methodically like we think it's going to be, it's a lot easier for the markets to digest. And at least that's the path that looks as though we'll continue. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We've got a prize pack coming up in the next. We've got to do quick news, weather, traffic. Then we will do a prize pack. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. A lot of places to find us online where we publish most of our articles, I would say one or two every single day. WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Under the Money tab, that's where we publish every single week our most important stories. And then, of course, I write for the AJC. There'll be an article coming out in the AJC every Tuesday in the front of the living section. This week, we'll be talking about the 4% rate of withdrawal. So the new verdict on the 4% rule. We've talked about it on Money Matters the last couple of weeks. It will be in AJC this Tuesday. So take a look. More Money Matters straight ahead. Right. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. That's what it is. It's a time change. No wonder now I feel like it's the 9 o'clock hour when it's really now almost 11. We're finally awake here. Time change really is a big deal. Ryan Neely, by the way, what's up with the prize pack?
The WSB Weekend Prize Pack is a family four-pack of tickets to $5 Dry Fit Frenzy Night at the Atlanta Gladiators game on Saturday, March 17th at Infinite Energy Arena. And a four-pack of tickets to the Atlanta International Auto Show, March 21st through the 25th in Building C at the Georgia World Congress Center. This week's trivia question, can you tell me what famous singer who changed their name, their stage name, was born John Dusendorf in Roswell, New Mexico?
You know, I don't. Whoever that was, I don't blame him for changing his name.
It worked out pretty well for him.
Welcome
it really
to
did.
America.
Much cooler sounding name, and it worked out very well. Very famous singer John Dusendorf was better known as what?
In America, if you don't like your name, you change your name, period. I don't know if you do that all over the world. Probably. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters as we wrap up today. I would say the most important piece of research that we have done in a while has to do with this withdrawal rate. It's titled The New Verdict on the 4% Rule. It's going to be coming out in on the AJC Living section on Tuesday. I don't want you to miss it. It's an important read on how much money you can take out over the long, long run as a retiree and still be safe for never running out of money. There's a lot of research behind it. So check that out, AJC Tuesday. Also, to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Go to WesMoss.com, WESMOSS, that's WESMOSS.com. The Money tab, again, that's where we publish almost daily most important topics you need to know as a pre-retiree or retiree. And there's the contact button upper right-hand corner. It's a red envelope. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.